the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it is Monday, January 13th, 2020.
Wow.
We have a vision of the future, and it is 2020.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I want to welcome everyone to the Denver Nuggets podcast.
We are now a Denver Nuggets podcast. The colors, not so different. You know, you just got to like shift the purple to blue a little bit.
There's more, generally more white.
Yeah.
Seems like.
No rainbow in the Lakers repertoire.
That's right. So we're supporting a more diverse LGBT friendly team in the Denver Nuggets.
I mean, I would bet Denver actually has an in-season LGBT night.
Oh, I bet they do. I bet it's a night. In fact, it's funny. It's at some of the events that I have attended as a gay man, I have not infrequently seen someone wearing a Denver Nuggets hat without knowing what it's for. Because I'll be like, hey, oh, that's cool. Are you an NBA fan? And they're like, what?
What?
But that one that's like the skyline.
Yeah.
That is.
And it's rainbow. Got the rainbow skyline.
It's very snazzy.
Oh.
And you know what? Watching a certain amount of Denver Nuggets basketball, they play well enough to eventually. This is the one of the prevailing theories of the last 6 months of this podcast, is that just watching a team perform well eventually makes you be like, well, maybe I do like this team.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Chris tries out the league run with our game of the week feature.
Yeah. And this one was a little in question because I think last week we talked about the fact that I hate players on both of these teams.
You do. And the nice thing is that one of them had a really bad game.
One of them very clearly demonstrated why I and other people hate him.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Jamal Murray had a good game.
He played fine. And he was inoffensive. And that's the thing about Jamal Murray, is that when he plays fine, he's inoffensive, right? And the reason you didn't like him was because he like got in Lonzo's face. He was like a big old asshole to the Lakers. And, you know, you were rooting against him because of the way that he played against your team that you liked.
Yeah, and I honestly didn't think that he... It wasn't like, ooh, he's so good, I'm mad at him because he's so good against our team. I was like, he's okay against our team.
You didn't see the hype lineup. Now, with Patrick Beverley, you hate him specifically because he's an asshole.
Yeah, and I think that I am not like a lone wolf on this opinion.
No.
A clip went up on Reddit of him flopping against Jokic.
Yeah.
That was pretty ridiculous. And then the next play, he got fouled out.
I mean, for these flops, is he getting fined for these?
I don't know.
Because the anti-flop stuff is still in effect.
Yes, right? It is.
So...
They've been kind of lax on this anti-flop stuff.
Yeah.
I actually think that I know it would really change the rhythm of games, but I almost feel like refs should be allowed to call offensive fouls on flops or something. Or not offensive fouls. Call a defensive foul on a really bad flop.
Okay.
So I don't know.
It's like if the defender flops,
they get a foul called.
They get a foul.
I don't know. I mean, that's a very slippery slope because then you're sort of. You're in essence, you're saying a flop didn't really do anything, right?
Yeah.
Nothing actually happened.
Nothing.
And we're going to start penalizing it.
Yeah. And I think the monetary penalty is the right move, right? Because it penalizes their wallets. But a flop in the game, it just, they're on the ground. That's already bad enough, you know?
Yeah. But the issue is, okay. So, I mean, we do penalize behavior that doesn't really have an effect on the game in like an illegal defense in a way. It's like you're getting a foul for sort of being in the wrong place. Presumably you're gaining an advantage that you shouldn't.
Yes. Yeah. And the advantage is that, you know, harder to make a drive to the basket.
I guess. Yeah. I almost would love for 1 year then to have no illegal defense and just see what defense, what is the ideal optimum defense that
just see what happens.
Is it a bunch of guys just crowding the lane?
Because I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either, because I feel like then we'd have a three-point fest.
Yes. I think that the ideal defense is definitely going to have at least one big guy in the lane no matter what, right?
Yeah.
But
I almost would be interested to see, like, let them do it. First of all, it would remove a lot of the complexities of officiating the defense.
Yeah.
And then maybe – so this is what my fanboy thing would be like. Well, maybe you'd see a bunch of, like – at the rim confrontations.
Ooh, like slam ball style. Yes,
but I think what you'd really see is a lot of avoiding the rim.
Yeah.
So that's not fun.
I mean, I think that, you know, in that scenario, the ideal defense is like you put your thumb in the paint and then the four other people are guarding the perimeter. Right. And so you've got help coming for a drive if you need it. But beyond that, like,
And like the market for 7 foot rim protectors would like Clint Capella and those guys and Rudy Gobert would suddenly be like the highest paid.
They'd be real valuable.
And we would call that the four fingers of death.
Ooh.
Shaolin style.
Wow.
So what did you think of the Nuggets Clippers game?
I think that the Clippers are not as good a team as they should be right now.
Yeah.
Is my Clippers takeaway. It feels like they don't gel together.
Uh-huh.
And poor Landry Shamet has not been a good player for them this year.
I wonder why.
It's the arc. You've fully got me over on arc.
Have you seen it though?
I mean, it's pretty low.
I mean, he in this game particularly, he like front rimmed some stuff. Or maybe it's the game before. I saw him front rim a lot of 3-pointers.
It's much easier to front rim when you have a poor arc.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, maybe he's trying to front rim.
Yeah, you should get more points for hitting the front
it's
of the rim.
It's probably harder to hit the rim.
Yeah.
You know who has a very high arc on his shot? Nikola Jokic.
Yes, he does.
For a tall man. You know, they often say like tall guys have a trouble arcing the ball correctly.
Yeah.
Because they're almost sort of like throwing it down. Like they always said that about Shaq and his free throws.
I mean, I always played in a low ceiling kind of a environment. And you know, when you're a kid and you got a low ceiling on that indoor gym, you don't want to hit the top of the ceiling. You want to hit the basket. So you keep that arc low, you know, because the ball, if it goes where it needs to go, you know, who cares?
But Jokic grew up playing outside probably.
Yeah.
No ceiling but the clouds.
Yeah, the cold, hard sky of Serbia.
Yeah. I think that the Clippers, I agree with you that they're not as good as they should be. I almost feel though that there's not much to worry about right now.
I'm
not saying that you said that they should be worried, but like I think a lot of Clippers fans are getting a little unsettled.
Yeah,
because they're not really seeing their team excel, and I think that it's a bit of a gamble they're taking.
Yeah,
because I don't even know how many games George and Kawhi have played together this season.
It is. It's probably about 60% of the games, would be my guess, because Kawhi doesn't play back to backs and Paul George missed the first month of the season.
And he got a hamstring injury about 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
So
maybe less than 60. Reviewing the facts, I think I may be overestimating.
This is the gamble.
Yeah.
That I agree with you. They don't have much chemistry. They don't have that. And also, they're a little top heavy in their lineup.
Yeah.
So they're gambling that they can kind of put that stuff together in the last 2 months of the season. And I don't know if they can. Although I will say that I don't know that Doc Rivers is known for his X's and O's, but he's
known for his team building.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that might be to his strength to be the guy that can synthesize the emotional bond between players quickly.
What's the Ubuntu of 2020? 12 years later. What's the Ubuntu for this Clippers team?
Well, I'm sure that he's just looking at whatever the latest Linux build is.
Yeah.
So what would be like the prominent Linux build these days? It's not still Red Hat, is it?
No, I mean, I don't know. I would guess that like you just call it Linux. I don't know. Do they have it like a special build for Linux that people are using more than any other one?
TechRadar.com's best Linux distros of 2020. This is our new segment. Linux distros.
All right. So what's the Ubuntu of 2020? Which, knowing this, that Doc Rivers did not choose Ubuntu because it was a Linux distro.
Oh, of course he did. You should see him hacking together a little box.
Okay, yeah.
On the sidelines.
And you're right. He hacked the Staples Center to put some money up there so they could come grab it later in the season.
Ubuntu on this list is number 4.
Wow.
Best Linux distros for 2020.
So maybe the Ubuntu of 2020 is Ubuntu.
It could be. It says one of the most popular distros for good reasons.
Is this one of those lists that starts at 10 and goes to 1?
It's going 1 to 10.
Oh, okay. So,
OpenSUSE.
OpenSUSE.
SUSE is
like Dinesh D'Souza.
SUSE Linux has been around forever. Okay. And it does say that the best looking distro.
All I care about is GraphX Dog.
Elementary OS.
Okay. I've heard of Elementary.
I've never heard of it. I'm going to try it because I recently bought a mini PC.
Ooh.
Which is a PC on like a Roku stick.
Yeah.
For $100.
That is a great price. And it comes plug with, it right into your TV.
It comes with Windows 10.
Yep.
It's surprising to me.
Windows 10, $90. That computer, $10.
That's crazy.
I mean, but if you think about it, like you get a Raspberry Pi for, you know.
I've never played around bucks. With Raspberry Pis.
Oh,
they seem fun.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say something about the Clippers. I think the other reason I wouldn't be worried, but I might be worried, is that I don't think Lou Williams is a great starter, which, you know, obviously I don't think he will start with Paul George in the lineup. They shuffle things around so that he's that spark off the bench.
But, and he plays well against backups, and he yes. plays well in crunch time.
He just isn't – I don't know the real advanced stats breakdown of this, but my feeling is he's not the guy you want defending a lot of first-line starter offense.
Okay.
Against yeah, other
he's,
teams.
He's not a good defender. That is a fact about him.
And I think that you can get away with that when he's coming off the bench. So I think that hurts them in games like this. Montrezl Harrell played very well. And Kawhi played great.
Yeah.
You know, Kawhi is sort of it's crazy to say, but he's like a reliable 30 points. Or he's a reliable 25. Or
he's, yeah, he's a reliable 800 points from Kawhi.
But you know what I mean? Like he's – there's to a certain degree not a lot you can do against him.
Yeah.
Because his offense is relentless in a way that's kind of like very hard to defend.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if he's going to like muscle you in a post and then do a turnaround jump shot, like that's kind of – I don't know. There's not a lot of players.
No.
They're going to be able to stop that.
Yeah, and I think that his value to them as a bench scorer, as somebody who will come and stabilize that second unit,
yes,
is only going to be something that's ever going to get worse than it is right now.
Oh.
If that makes sense. Right.
Worse from his capability?
Both. His capability Ooh. And how the team fits together. Right. When you have a bench scorer, their minutes and role get reduced in the postseason.
I see.
Right. So Lou Williams is a really good regular season player.
He's
right?
great for like getting you to your 50 or 60 wins.
Yes.
The line is going to shorten up.
Yeah, and I don't think that his value is as prominent in a postseason series. So I think while he makes this team stronger in the regular season,
yeah.
he's not going to be that guy who puts it all together to make their postseason run work.
Do you think he can win a game for you in the playoffs with a burst?
I don't know. Okay. I think that he could, and I think that last year in the playoffs he had some really fantastic games against the Warriors.
Yeah,
but he's... He was their number one option, even being their bench guy
right.
last year. He's the number three option on this team now.
Right. And will he finish games in the playoffs, do you think?
I think he will. But even then, he's still the number three option. And like,
yeah.
you know, with Montrezl Harrell in there, who has really proven to be a fantastic bench asset as well, having that bench system, I think like the value of the bench system in the playoffs goes down.
Yes, yes. Rotate. I mean, they'll probably run. Yeah.
I mean, you know, last year they played Zubats 6 minutes, the first 6 minutes of the game, right? Yeah. And that's it. And he started for them.
And they won't need to be as conservative with Kawhi's minutes.
No, Kawhi will play a lot.
There will be more rest in between games.
Yeah.
Now I know this is going to be a shock, but I think Chauncey Billups said something worthwhile on this telecast.
Ooh.
That's our surprise of the week.
Surprise.
Which is,
of the week.
Which he said that one of the potential issues for the Clippers this year is that they should be sort of putting games away earlier so that the starters are off the court earlier. And I kind of agree. Like, for a team that's kind of fragile as it is, and with a player on load management already.
Yeah.
When you talk about, like, probably in the playoffs, they want to run Kawhi and Paul George probably 40 minutes a game.
Yeah.
But you got to get there with the gas in their tank to do so.
So this is this sounds like a good thing, right? That Chauncey Billups said. What team actually puts teams away? and like consistently sticks.
Well,
to
it made me think about like which teams are like maintaining like sort of points differentials all the way through the end of a game, and I wish I knew how to formulate a query to look that up.
Well, I mean, the issue with this like type of thinking is like, if you really go and look through like how many times LeBron James doesn't play the entire fourth quarter,
uh-huh.
or how many times like Kawhi Leonard doesn't play the entire fourth quarter, or Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't play the entire fourth quarter,
uh-huh.
it happens maybe 2 times a month.
Okay.
Right? Even if you're winning by a lot, like 10 to 15 points, you're still going to play some in the fourth quarter. Also, teams work with their players to say, like, you're going to get this many minutes a game,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you don't get that many minutes a game, it can throw you off your rhythm a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, I guess my memory of some of those Golden State runs was that, like, and this is, you know, what do you call it? Not data-driven. this is a flight of fancy, is that there were games where, like, they just got to like rest everybody.
And the Clippers have had those games too, right? Those games exist, but they're also choosing to set up rest for them in different ways, like with Kawhi not playing back to backs and Paul George getting injuries. You know, they planned that. That's a Clippers plan right there.
Well, so, the only thing I'll say is that right now Giannis is averaging almost like just under 31 minutes a game.
Yeah. Which is great. He's getting a ton of rest, right? Yeah. Because he plays, I think he comes out at the 8-minute mark in the first quarter, and then he'll come back in at the 8-minute mark of the second quarter. You know, he's,
and they have the highest points differential in the league.
Yes,
right
they
now.
Do.
So,
but can you like look up how many fourth quarter minutes he plays versus how many first, second, and third quarter minutes he plays?
I don't know,
because that's the key here, is because I think you'll find that like they're probably going to be about the same. He's probably going to be playing about 8 minutes a quarter.
Interesting. Boy, do I wish I knew how to manipulate NBA stats.nba.com, because I'm sure it's in here.
I mean,
I'll fiddle around with it.
It's good to get guys rest. Chauncey is not wrong. But I don't think that's a problem with the Clippers, because there's no team in the NBA that's so good that they can consistently put away bad teams
mm-hmm.
in a way where they'll be able to say, okay, you get the fourth quarter off here. And even if you do get the fourth quarter off, okay, you rested 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't think that that's a huge problem. I think that sounds smart. It sounds like something that you would want to say, oh, you know, they're not putting teams away. And like, yeah, but nobody puts teams away, right? This just is not a thing that happens consistently. Like, you'll have a blowout win 2 or 3 times a month. You'll have a blowout loss 2 or 3 times a month. And then the other 8 games you play that month are going to be close.
Yeah. I guess I would say that, okay, so yes, maybe things are sort of generally the same, but then there also probably are concrete data differences between who's playing more or less in these fourth quarters.
Yeah.
And if it were reversed, and let's say Giannis was playing a lot of minutes in the fourth quarter, I would think, well, he's young, he doesn't have a long history of injury, and maybe it's not that big a deal. But if it boiled down to like Kawhi and Paul George having a lot of these fourth quarter minutes compared to Giannis or other players.
Yeah.
Then I might be like, well, maybe at the very least, we don't want our players who are injury prone and rest desiring.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't want them on this end of this variance.
Yeah, that's fair.
If anyone knows how to look this up, fourth quarter, all I found was clutch stats. And right now, Chris Paul has played the most games that had clutch moments. I don't even know how NBA stats defines clutch.
I think it's within 5 with 5 minutes left. But
they have him at 4.1 minutes of clutch time in these 28 games.
Ooh.
And let's just see who has scored. Can't even see it. But who's got the best field goal percentage in clutch, let's say? Bam Adebayo, has been in 16 games with clutch time, 4.6 minutes of clutch time, and it has a 100% 2-point field goal percentage.
That's so funny.
Hey, that's pretty good. How do you feel about these Nuggets, since we are now a Nuggets podcast?
Well, I mean,
for another week at least.
They're good. They're a good team, and I'm excited we get to watch them play, and I think I know which game I want to pick.
Okay, good.
Because slim pickings this week, unless we bump it forward to...
into next week?
Into next week, which, you know, to be fair, Monday is a basketball holiday.
Oh, what is the holiday?
Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Oh, but the people are still playing on Monday.
Yeah, a basketball holiday is in like, it's a holiday where they have basketball
televised. Oh, I see. Day. So it's a Christmas.
It's a Christmas.
Not a Thanksgiving.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, so because, well, like Sunday is a game we already watched, right?
That's Sunday's a game we already watched. Monday's a game we have seen both teams, even.
Okay.
Because it's Nuggets Timberwolves. And then the other one is Thursday in Wednesday. We have Thursday and Wednesday Nuggets Warriors and Nuggets Hornets. So not a great slate of Nuggets games this week.
Yes.
But the best one is that Pacers game. And I think we'll probably have a lot more to say about it if we are able to pop in there.
I think maybe we should go for this Pacers game because yeah. I would still love to maybe jump conferences.
Okay, a cool. Bit. Great.
And we have seen this teams face up before, right?
I don't think we watched these.
We've seen
teams.
Them play in other games of the week.
Yes,
yeah, okay, it's good. And we're sort of generally interested in the Pacers.
Yeah.
I feel like we did see the Pacers Nuggets.
Didn't we watch Pacers Mavericks and they lost to the Mavericks, or did they lose?
We saw Pacers Sixers.
Oh, yeah.
And then we saw Pacers Nuggets. Because I remember talking about how they were both sort of well-oiled offenses.
Well, there's only one way to find out, and that's by going back and listening to the podcast that we used to record.
So what we're going to do is we're going to listen now live to all of our previous episodes.
It's going
to
be the best episode.
This will be like
ever.
Our reactions to our own podcast.
Those are so much better when they're like video.
Better is a very generous term there. Are you happy with how Jokic is playing?
I feel like he's played a lot better recently.
He had
a weird slump where he was like down for five games, but then he had a 40-point game the other night, and he's been playing better. So I'm into it.
And I'll tell you another reason why I like the Nuggets a little more. I still like that Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
He's a fun player to watch.
Yes, it is.
This is another observation that's probably based more on like apocryphal memory, but I wonder if he could be sort of the modern George Gervin.
Ooh.
And now that I think about it, I think previously I said he kind of reminded me of Kevin Durant because I think Kevin Durant had George Gervin.
Yes, he's got that's a good comparison.
And I think it's because of the length and the sort of silkiness. There's a sort of fun wiggliness to Michael Porter.
Yeah.
And I've only heard of these like jelly layups.
Okay.
For the last couple of years.
You mean like they like shift to the side and they like come back up and
no,
over?
It's where you do this weird little like finger rolly thing.
It's like a fancy finger roll.
Yeah.
It's a jelly roll.
Jelly roll. Maybe that's right. Tristan Jass of basketball YouTuber fame.
Ooh.
Got famous for doing it. But Michael Porter kind of does these. He did one where he drove and kind of leaned back.
Yeah.
And sort of like flopped it up over his head. It's always fun when you see new players in the NBA that are just doing things differently.
Yeah.
Like, I forget what his name is, the guy on the Spurs.
Lonnie Walker.
Who's very bouncy.
Yeah.
Like, they just have a different energy, and it's like, oh, it's fun. Like, this game can be played in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
And Michael Porter Jr. has that a little bit as well.
I mean, watching him play is exciting because he's very good on offense, and I want to see him get better at everything so that he can be a star in this league.
And I would say, given the physical tools, he probably has the tools to be a very good defender.
Yeah.
Because he's very lengthy.
Yeah. He's tall. He's long. He's quick.
He's like the Irishman of the NBA.
Ooh. Tall and long.
Yeah.
And
award-winning.
A lot of CGI.
Did you see somebody did an improved age reduction of the Irishman?
Did they put baby faces on him?
No. They just did their own deep fake. It's a guy who's good at deep fakes.
Oh, no, I didn't see
that.
So
he did his own re-rendering of their faces, and it's significantly better than what Netflix did.
Interesting.
And he's just like an amateur that did it with like Amazon Cloud or whatever.
Wow.
But particularly his De Niro de-aging.
Yeah.
It looks like Netflix took present-day De Niro and tried to remove wrinkles, and this guy took 90s-era De Niro and deep-faked it into the movie, and it looks so much better.
Interesting. It's so weird when you can just do a thing better using AI instead of what the studio spent millions of dollars
on. Yeah.
I want to introduce a new segment.
Okay.
And this segment is called What's Kyle Kuzma Wearing?
Oh.
So I'm going to...
Is he wearing Chris Grace's Regret?
I mean, yes. So for those of you who don't know, Kyle Kuzma is a very fashion-forward kind of guy, which means he wears a lot of weird shit.
Yeah, he had a weird hair color going on.
Weird hair color going on right now. So I'm going to have Chris describe to you, the listener, this picture of Kyle Kuzma.
Okay, here we go. This is Kyle Kuzma. Can I just see what that says on his legs? He's wearing some multicolored kicks. And he's got these sort of like baggy... these almost look like this current trend of like Japanese work pants.
Okay.
That's happening. But they also look like they have zip-off calves.
Zip-off calves down here. To turn into
shorts.
And yeah, so they've got that...
It's a weird inscription.
That kind of military zip-off... thing going on there. A drawstring.
No taper to the leg, by the way.
No taper. Nothing.
What's on the top?
On the top, up here, we have a, and of course, you know, Kyle Kuzma is the Puma brand representative for the Los Angeles Lakers. So he's got a Puma vest on.
Okay. And then a black t-shirt.
Black t-shirt. Just straight up black t-shirt. And all of this is black. And the Puma black vest has multiple pockets, kind of almost like a military style vest. A little, but not in the color of a military vest.
Yeah, sort of in between that and a fisherman's jacket.
Yeah. Describe his necklace to me.
His necklace is chain links of... Okay, it seems to be chain links with two mountain climbing carabiners.
I mean, that's kind of what it looks like, right?
On his left, those links are bigger than the...
Yes, they are. He's got AirPods... And I can't tell. Do those look like AirPods or AirPods Pro?
Those look like AirPods Pro. And of course, we know that he has AirPods Pro because he was gifted them by Dwight Howard.
Got it. Yes.
He's also got an Eminem style hair color going on.
That's correct. We got and some sunglasses that don't look anything other than what Blade would wear.
Yep.
So
violating the rule of the top of your glasses sort of obscuring your eyebrows.
Yeah, and he does not have an Apple Watch. He has a regular watch that is white. It's the only thing on his body besides his shoes, which, like, truly, these Pumas are some of the ugliest shoes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't like these
at all. I think they're ugly, but I also don't know what looks good.
But these are not basketball shoes. He didn't come to the arena in basketball shoes. So the Puma basketball shoes don't look as bad as this.
Okay.
These look like what if... somebody was going hiking, but needed there to be reflective tape on their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, the choices here are...
His shoes look like, what if I was being hunted by an assassin, but I was trapped inside a...
Like a rave.
An ink pigment storehouse
that
only had... cyan, yellow, magenta, and black.
Yeah, bins. All three of those colors, and you can't mix them. You have to put them separately on the shoes.
It looks like one of those like have you ever done the thing where it's like make your own Nike?
Yeah,
and you like do a couple, and after a while you're just like, what am I doing? This looks terrible.
I've done it, and then I've done it in NBA 2K, and I always make the worst shoes.
I mean, because I go into those and I'm like, okay, this will look cool on the heel. Okay, this will look cool on the upper, and then about six steps in, I'm like. Well, I chose individual colors that would look cool at each individual moment of the shoe, and now it looks terrible.
Yeah.
And then instead of deleting it, Kyle Kuzma sent an email to Puma that was like, print, send it to me.
Print them.
I was just thinking about how, you know, rarely do you see NBA players just sort of showing up in like, you know, Old Navy shorts and flip-flops or something. Like, it's almost like a fashion runway.
It super duper is.
Yeah.
In a way that is not, in my mind, working out so far this season for Kyle Kuzma. I want his style.
This season in general isn't really working out.
Not particularly. I mean, don't speak too soon because we gotta check in on Lakerland. But this has been Kyle Kuzma's best week of the season.
Oh, stats-wise.
Stats-wise.
Well, you texted me, like, how much do I hate... I forgot to respond to that, but you texted me, how much do I hate that Kyle Kuzma and Rondo are carrying this game?
Yeah, and this was... I was talking about the Thunder game, which was without LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Danny Green.
Right. My answer to that is not bothered at all because it raises his trade value.
Hey, you got to do good before you get shipped out because then we get the picks right back. Boop, boop.
Yep. That's what I would like to see. Have some, have a good little run of plays. Because for whatever reason, I recognize that he is potentially a good and even winning basketball player on I'm the best guy on a not great roster, but that is not a reality that the Lakers will be living with over the next at least 2 years.
No, he is at best third option. And then that means that he is at best on the court ever going to be the second option.
So, and he has not shown that he can excel in that environment.
Not this year. I think in his first year, he did a lot better at like finding his place in an offense.
Yeah.
And he has been an unrepentant chucker since then.
I would say that, you mean first year last year? Like first year with LeBron?
First year in the league.
Okay. Because I would even say he was a little better. He had more viability last year because LeBron was the first option, but the second option was either old veterans or a bunch of guys that he came up with.
Yeah.
And I think he he just kind of looks timid sometimes when he's on the court with those guys.
Yeah.
And I don't think he felt that when he was with his buddies. There's some pop psychology for you.
Pop, pop, pop.
By the way, just since we happened to talk about Lakers, I believe Alex Caruso is like the number six vote-getting guard in the All-Star voting.
Well, part of the reason for that is because he's very good.
Yeah.
Alex Caruso is good, and he's got a PER above 10. And I don't know if you know this, but 10 is league average in PER. Hold on. Hang on. I'm checking my notes real fast. 15 is league average in PER.
Yes.
So, you know, you've railed on about PER a lot before.
Yes.
Right? One of the things that I think I'm starting to pick up on is that PER and role players don't go well together.
Ah.
Because Alex Caruso plays a role on this team, and the team plays well when he is
not reflected in PER.
Not at all. No. I mean, he's not perfect. He misses shots. He's not the best shooter. He turns the ball over, but he tries hard on defense and he plays hard and the team loves him and he really gets those guys going, if you know what I mean.
Well, also, yeah, the other question is can he yam?
Oh, the man yams.
And he can yam.
So I feel like I may have talked about this last week, but there was a video that Spectrum Sportsnet put together of the dunk that he did where everybody jumped in the air.
Uh-huh.
And it had a bunch of bald eagle sounds and terrible bald eagle graphics in it.
Uh-huh.
So funny. Such a good video. Everybody go to the Spectrum Sportsnet Twitter account and never subscribe to Spectrum. Unless you want to watch Lakers games.
Well, is it? Unless you want to watch... Spectrum, is it separate from Spectrum regular?
Spectrum Sportsnet, and then they do, that's the only way you can get Lakers games in the city.
I was going to say, I would guess that along with that, you would get Mad About You.
Oh, yeah, you certainly do get, yeah, yes, you do
because
get
Mad About, About You. The revived Mad About You is only on Spectrum, which is a very weird thing for 70% of the country.
Well, here's the thing, though. Everybody loves the new Mad About You, and they say it definitely has a reason to exist, and it's not pointless.
I auditioned for that, and if I'd gotten it, I would be starting a fight with you right now.
Well,
but I didn't, so
yeah, fuck them.
Okay. As far as what was I going to say about the Lakers? I can't remember. Shoot.
Were you going to say something about Kuzma's week? Because I wanted to talk a little bit about the week in Lakerland.
Sure.
With a little bit of a butt injury.
Okay.
Anthony Davis out with a butt.
Right. Is this because of the fall he took in the game?
He took the fall in the game.
Yes.
He was going up for a block. And, you know, I think that's why people are like, oh, God, he's probably injury prone, is because he tries really hard, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not fair. You know, if you try hard, you're going to get hurt every once in a while.
Oh, you fucking try hard.
Yeah, what an asshole.
I love when that became an insult. Yeah. Oh, you put effort into things.
You tried. How dareth thou?
So how else do you think the Lakers, the records wise, they're doing great.
They won. The only bad game that they had was the Knicks one where they didn't put it all together.
Yeah.
But I... just very happy so far with the old Laker week. I mean, to win that game in Oklahoma City without the top three players on the team was so impressive. That was so impressive.
They also, the Thunder, was that before or after the Thunder beat the Rockets?
It was right after the Thunder beat the Rockets.
Okay, that, by the way, that was a very satisfying game to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, just watching Westbrook score a ton of points and Harden just, like, fuck up. And then having all of that, like, Westbrook play lead to his team losing by 15.
Yeah.
Just chef's kiss.
It even got me to appreciate a little bit of Chris Paul in there.
Wow. I mean, who are you?
This is, man, what happens.
Who are you?
I feel like, is there something like this in WWE where, like, the wrong people start being against each other and you're like, no, all these guys are heels. Don't turn one of them into the baby face or whatever they're called.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a thing.
I then watched Rockets Hawks, which I just love watching Trae Young. Trae Young is so much fun to watch.
He's so fun to watch. And I really appreciate the fact that he is just an unrepentant scorer, creator, no defense guy on a terrible team. Like, it's no fun to just have teams that are all good and play the same way.
Yeah.
I want some bad teams that do stuff that's like, and yes, they're trying to play the same way through a small creator, shoot a lot of three-pointers, but the way he does it is so fun and so interesting.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't like watching Devin Booker on the Suns.
He doesn't play the same way.
I just mean as like an unrepentant scorer.
Got it.
But I really enjoy watching Trae Young on the Hawks. And that game also kind of revived for me like just why people hate the Rockets.
Yeah.
Because like that, I think that game was the one where Harden also scored like 40 points or something.
Yeah.
But his field goal percentage was. Oh, this was. I did think about the specific that I wanted to say on this podcast.
Okay.
Which is that. Let me just quickly look up his stat line. His stat line was insane for that game. And then Eddie Johnson, former Seattle Supersonics,
yeah,
has been getting on social media, surprisingly.
To talk about Trae Young?
No, to talk about how James Harden's like, you know, that kind of game is like not good for the league.
Oh, okay.
Which is just surprising that Eddie Johnson feels that or whatever. And he was basically saying, like, if I shot that like that, my coach would be screaming at me on the bus.
Right? Yeah.
So for that game, James Harden scored 41 points.
Okay.
He was 9 for 34 from the field.
Yeah.
He was 4 for 20 from three-point land.
Okay.
And he was 19 for 23 from the free throw line.
All right.
Okay. So first of all, this is why other people hate James Harden.
Yeah.
If you're not a Rockets fan, because watching a game like that is very frustrating to whatever, like, how do we guard against this?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just a question of just don't foul him.
Yeah.
Because he's hunting these fouls, right? But this is the main thing I want to say. I think I can live with there being one James Harden in the league. If he never wins a championship, if Chris Paul never wins a championship, if Russell Westbrook never wins a championship, and Patrick Beverley and Jamal Murray, I'll be happy.
Right? Okay.
But if the same way that Trae Young is clearly building off a Steph Curry legacy.
Yeah.
And I mean, how old is Trae Young?
He is 21.
So when Steph Curry was ascendant, Trae Young was like 16 or something.
Yeah. Right?
Or whatever. Maybe, you know.
Maybe 14.
Yeah. And so he can see, oh, I can play like this guy. I really hope that in 5 years we don't have a bunch of people playing like James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want there to be like 5 or 6 teams. I don't want there to be teams in the league that have architected themselves in the Rockets model. And I think that that might be a damaging effect if they win the championship.
Yeah.
By the way, I did pick them to win the championship this year.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't want to see that. So
it's like all the babies named Rachel.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to see that.
Except for, I'm trying to think of good. I like Rachel's in general.
I mean, Rachel's are fine. Not just like, you know, it was the boom when, yes, when Friends was on the air. We had so many babies named Rachel.
Yes. When I was a kid, it was all Jennifer's.
Yeah. See, because of Jennifer from Jennifer's body.
How popular is the name Casey?
It's not super popular.
You would think Chris is, but it's not. It's really dipped in the last couple of years.
Are you a, do you just do Chris or are you ever Christopher?
I am Christopher legally and very, very, very occasionally.
Got it.
But mostly Chris. So I just don't want to see a bunch of players like James Harden. I can accept that there is the one.
Okay.
But
Do you feel like Luka Doncic is starting to become like James Harden?
Uh-uh.
Even though, like, he's incorporated parts of his routine, you know, the bully ball, the attacking the rim a lot, the passing very well.
Well, the thing is that James Harden does pass very well, but it's hard to articulate this difference. I don't feel that James Harden is quite the offensive playmaker creator. He passes very well in the system that he has, which is a very almost monotonous form of offense, which is I'm going to – like, you can kind of draw a circle around the part of the court that James Harden's always trying to get to.
Yeah.
And then you can – he's very good at seeing the passing lanes to the other four people, and he gets a fair number of assists doing that. Whereas I feel like Luka Doncic is at least different enough from Harden in that he has a bit more of a like I don't even know how much pick and roll James Harden orchestrates versus ISO dump to a three-pointer.
I mean, because it's so much ISO.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like their pick-and-roll action is not as high as you would expect it
to be. I think there's more creativity in Doncic's offensive package.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I just hope that parents out there are not teaching their sons. The thing is that at this point, I'm not even arguing that it's not an efficient way for him to play and that it's not effective. I think that clearly, like, when you add up, if he can get to the line 23 times in a game and it all works out that he really only took 34 shots and he scored 41 points, then in terms of, like, whose team has the more points at the end of the game, great. In this current system, I'm not arguing that he shouldn't play that way. I just don't want to see more of it.
Yeah.
It bums me out to watch.
You want it to go the way of the dodo because you want him to be the only person who's good enough to do it.
Yeah. And that's a separate question because I actually don't know. It'd be interesting if like the top 20 players in the league all were like, yeah, let's all fucking hunt fouls all the time. James Harden might still be the best at it.
Yeah.
It might be this discrete skill that he is clearly the best at and he's really managing and using that skill. That would be interesting, but I really hope that players don't do that.
Do you think that's why his beard is so big?
To get more contact?
Yes. Because it's a way you can add volume without adding weight.
Well, you can also add breadth to your head snaps.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's just so much more volume of your head going back.
And you've got a bigger
whip
of action.
And it moves around.
I'm sure it doesn't hurt.
Because, I mean, he's had his long beard for basically as long as he's been in Houston, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's so interesting. What else could James Harden
add?
Well,
he could grow more hair on top.
He could grow more hair on top. Because, like, I wonder how much it would take for him to, like, get a, like, big enough hair and head to have something that really affected his fouling pedigree.
Either that or some kind of locks. That had a little like splash effect
when
you move your head back.
Yeah. If he was just always wet. Just like his head was always wet.
Or a little bit of like, maybe the ref could feel it at that point.
Yeah. And then he'd get the notification on his face that James Harden just got fouled.
Yeah. The other thing that is you could maybe get hair and beard long enough so that it gets like tangled in people's appendages.
But then are you like worried about like people ripping it out? Cause like, I don't know if you've seen this on football hair. If you have hair coming out of your helmet, that's something you're legally allowed to tackle somebody by.
You are?
Yes.
I thought that was illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
Wait. So if the guy from Pittsburgh intercepts a ball.
Yes.
You're allowed to tackle him by his hair?
That is correct.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's part of football.
I thought for all this time that it was illegal.
No.
I believe it's illegal in rugby, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons you don't see a ton of...
who's the guy from Palomalu?
Yeah, I mean, who's been retired for 6 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like, you'll see people rip hair out, like, in tackling. Like, part of the thing with the beard is, like, if you get in there and you rip out some of the beard, is that worse for... like marketing opportunities. Like you really got to weigh all these things together.
Plus you got the hair ripped out. Not good for that fashion walk.
No, terrible. And the fashion walk may be more important than the game nowadays.
Hmm. I mean, you could argue depressingly that the shoe market is more important than what happens on the court. Because I think I mentioned this before a couple months ago, but like the concept that, and I got this from the Ben Simmons rookie college documentary.
Yeah.
The concept that these guys are actually like Nike, Adidas employees first.
Yeah.
And which is not that hard to argue because of the amount of money that they get from those things, and that they're basketball players second, is kind of depressing. Let me give you, throw some stats at you, unless you want to say more about that. Okay. Player A, they are, this is for the 2020 season. And this is something I got off of Reddit. It's an interesting question. Player A is 22 years old.
Okay.
He's shooting 44% from the field.
Okay.
32% from three.
Okay.
92% from free throw line.
Okay.
He's getting 4 rebounds and almost 5 assists a game.
Okay.
He's scoring 18 points a game. And his true shooting is 54%.
Okay.
That's player A.
Got it.
Player B is 25 years old.
Okay.
He's shooting 43%, 39% from three, 84% from the free throw line. He's getting 4 rebounds, 4.5 assists. His true shooting is 55%.
And how many points a game?
18.
18. Same as the...
Player A is on a... Let me just double check this, but he's on a contract, I believe, for $170 million.
At 22?
I believe so.
No.
Let me just check.
That does not how that happens.
Or maybe this is what he's coming up for soon. Starting next year. Sorry.
Starting next year. Okay. So he signed an extension.
I believe so.
Okay.
And let me just double check the other player's salary. So the player A next year will start making $29 million a year.
Okay.
And he has escalating contracts for the next.
Yeah, of course. He signed the rookie max extension.
Yeah. I mean, that's our resident capologist, Casey Lawrence. Somebody hire him. Knows off the top of his head. Now I have to find, this guy is not playing for the team that I thought he was playing for. Okay. I'm singing the song for an insurance company.
Ooh.
Player B has 3 years left on his contract, making about 19, 18, and then $17 million.
Okay. So contract. It's a de-escalating contract that's for a friendly kind of situation. Okay.
Which of these two players, including their contract situations, would you rather have?
Ooh. Oh, okay. So that's tough, right? Because if you are a superstar young player at 22 who signed your rookie extension, the team is betting that you will get even better going forward, right? That extension is signed and you are just killing it.
Yeah, because at the end of this contract... Is it how long? How many years is it typically?
Five. It's a 5 year extension.
Okay, so
it's four with a player option.
So in his fourth year of this contract coming up, he'll be making $36 million.
Yeah,
and he'll sort of be around where player B is in terms of age.
Yes, but you signed him to that contract because you think he will be better than player
B. Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're a person for the future.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you're going to want to swing for the fences because I think you would say that that might be player B's peak and player A's peak is going to be higher. Mm-hmm. So do you want approximately what player A is right now for the course of player B's like de-escalating contract, which could be good? Or do you want to have a piece that you can absolutely build around, which I think is what you're valuing player A at?
Of course, you have no context as to what these teams are.
No, I don't. But if I was, you know, I think I would probably go with player A.
Interesting.
Is what I would have, because player B, while cheaper and right now outputting the same, I don't think is going to have the same value over the course of the contract that he would as player A. And let me just guess real quick as to who player A and player B are.
Okay, because also I think if you knew the names of these players, you would have said much sooner who you liked.
Got it. Okay.
and you would have said the same player, I think.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to guess that, this is tough. Who signed that fucking deal this offseason?
So player A is somebody who's in his last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
Let me see. which means he was drafted in...
That'd be 2016, yeah.
And I'll just let you know, he was the seventh pick.
Oh.
In the 2016 draft.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know then.
It's Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray. All right.
And
player B is?
Was drafted 16th in 2015.
Oh, okay.
By one of your least favorite teams.
Okay. All right. Is that... because Jason Tatum was drafted higher. I don't know.
Some people might say that this player is frightening.
Ooh, just a little bit frightening.
It's a little bit frightening.
Kelly Oubre Jr.?
No, just that he's a little scary.
Oh, Terry Rozier. you were right with Boston.
Yeah, I feel like if I told you who would you rather have, Jamal Murray or Terry Rozier, you'd be like, Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray, for sure.
Yeah. But it's an interesting question because actually, stats-wise, they're pretty close this season.
Yeah.
And I would the only thing that, obviously, everyone knows I hate Jamal Murray, but the thing I would say that would worry me if I had like extended him in this way is that his last three seasons have been very much the same.
Yeah.
So it's quite a leap to think that he's going to make a big jump in the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely fair because, you know, I think you're hoping he makes that jump, but I don't know if he will.
I mean,
I definitely expect Terry Rozier to just get fucking worse.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. And also he has shown that he's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
With Jamal Murray, the thing I would say is like, would you be comfortable paying $36 million to somebody who's saying averaging like 19 points and 5 assists a game?
That's the market, baby.
Yeah, that is the market. And this is the post that I didn't have.
And he doesn't need to average more assists because he's got a big old boy in the middle who does it for him.
Yeah. You know, this is what I would... my concern about him making that leap is that I think he's in the wrong position. And
you don't want to pay that money to a shooting guard. Gross.
Well, this is what I didn't have the patience to jump into. This is how I avoided a Reddit hole this week. Is that...
Did you make that song yet?
No, I haven't made that song yet. Is that... I think that I could probably put together a mixtape of 10 instances in his career so far where Jamal Murray has shown very poor decision-making in a pressured game situation in a way that I don't think, like Trae Young is making mistakes for sure. A lot of other young point guards in their first 3 years make mistakes, but there's been times where it's like, that is not a point guard mistake. That is like, you don't have the temperament to be the point guard. The nature of that mistake was not one of a point guard. The most recent example, which we mentioned, was in a close game, I think it was against the Spurs, just dribbling out the 24-second clock when they needed a score.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, that's not what we want. I'd rather you try a crazy pass and it get intercepted or something than that. So that was thanks to NBA discussion on Reddit for giving me that. So I guess I brought the Reddit hole to the podcast.
Ooh.
Is what I did. So let's review what game we have for this week.
We have the Pacers Nuggets on Sunday, before NBA's holiday.
Sunday, January 19th. This is in Denver.
Yes.
This is at 8 p.m. Yeah. Eastern time.
One of two games that day because 28 teams are playing the next day. Big Whoa. Martin Luther King Day.
Whoa. And this is a little bit of a rematch of the game we watched before. I think they would only play two games against each other, right?
Yeah.
So probably the last game was in Indiana.
Yeah.
Weird. For some reason, I thought that one was in Denver, but
dun,
it wasn't.
Dun, dun.
Casey, do you have any shows coming up this week?
This week, I got a show on... No shows.
Ooh.
I got no shows. Oh, yeah. I got no shows. I got shows the week after. So I'm a no-show guy this week. But I got shows going forward.
This week, I will be in Columbus, Ohio, attending Magi Fest.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are in the Columbus, Ohio area, or actually, if you're in Pittsburgh, tomorrow night, Tuesday, I'll be at the Steel City Improv Center teaching improv.
Awesome.
But then I will be in Columbus buying magic and watching magic Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Beautiful. And last thing I want to say was congratulations to Rick Welts.
Hey.
Who got married today.
Congratulations.
To his partner, Todd Gage. He is the president of the Golden State Warriors.
I believe that is the case.
A long
and storied career in the NBA for Rick Welts. Congratulations on your marriage.
I'm looking at a photo of his ceremony, which seems very perfunctory, at the City Hall. I was really hoping that, like, you know, it would be like, you know, capped off by like a dunk.
Ooh.
At the last moment or something.
That'd be fun.
That'd be fun. You know, if Joe Barry Carroll comes out.
Ooh, and just stands there to get dunked on.
And then he's like, Joe barely cares.
Oh.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Check out that Pacers Nuggets game.
Later.
Bye.